Later, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Inshallah, we'll start the program with recitation of the Quran. So, for the recitation of the Quran, I'd like to call forward one of our students from the Hifz class, Aliyan Khan, to come forward and recite some Quran for us.
بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أهوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى صدق الله العظيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين تبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تسبوا أصحابي. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فضل عائشة على سائر النساء كفضل الثريد على سائر الطعام أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب زدني علما سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما ينفعنا آمين يا رب العالمين. My dear respected brothers and elders and my esteemed sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity to present ourselves in the masjid. Inshallah, it's a very warm day. You could be sitting at home. You could be crying about the FA Cup final result. Your United supporter could be saying, Ya Allah, what's happened? No FA Cup for us this year. If I'm a City supporter, I could be celebrating. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us into the masjid, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best place on the surface of the earth. And we have to have this conviction, this yaqeen, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that the best places on the earth are the masjid. Ahabbul biladi ilallahi ta'ala masajiduha wa abghadul biladi ilallahi ta'ala aswaquha. The worst of places in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the market places and the places in which people are negligent and people are not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're gathered here in the masjid today. Now the topic for today's talk is about the life of our mother, Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And the reality is, for a while, I've been thinking about talking about this, especially in Ramadan. And I thought, maybe I'll talk about it on a Jum'ah. But then I thought, in Jum'ah, many of our youngsters are not here. And you know, there's very limited time. So I thought, inshallah, I'll dedicate one event to just talking about the virtues and the greatness and the life and legacy of Sayyidatuna Khadija, Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So inshallah, very briefly, because I've got limited time, so I'm going to try and give a brief overview of the life of Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And the reason we're doing this, ideally what each and every single Muslim should be doing is researching and studying the lives and biographies, firstly of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the companions. This is the ideal situation, that we all on a daily basis have a portion of the seerah which we are reciting from, reading from a book, or a portion of, you know, a life or a biography of one of the Sahaba that we can read. SubhanAllah, the scholars of the past have done us an immense favor by compiling these biographies. Famously, Imam Shamsuddin al-Dhahabi in his Siyaru A'lam al-Nubala, 30 volumes he's compiled of the biographies of the people of the past. Biographies are very important, because biographies connect us with the real Muslims. Because nowadays, unfortunately, there's Islam by name. One person, Mufti Rafi Uthmani, rahmatullahi alayhi, the great scholar of Pakistan, he used to say he met this lady who came to him, and she was interested in learning about, you know, inquiring about Islam, learning about Islam. So then he guided her towards, you know, some resources, and later on she came back and she said, "I've embraced Islam." She said, "However, I found a big discrepancy between the Islam which is in the books and the Islam which is in the lives of the Muslims. And I embraced Islam on the basis of the Islam which is in the books. If I look at the role models and the examples that are there as Muslims, I'm not inclined towards embracing Islam." Again, recently another sister who reverted to Islam, she was from the original cast of this Star Wars, you know, when they made the movie, Star Wars movies. She was one of the directors or had something to do with the casting behind the scenes. She said, "Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala guided me towards Islam through, in a way that I never even imagined. It was not the Muslim people." She said, "If the Muslim people that I knew, the Muslims that I knew, they were, you know, they had nothing to do with me becoming Muslim." And this is very sad, and it's very unfortunate that there was a time where countries like the ulama always talk about, Indonesia and China and other countries, where the Muslims never conquered, but just some, and many of the parts of Africa, that the Muslims never conquered, but some Muslim businessmen and some Muslim merchants went there, and just by observing them and watching them and benefiting from their character, people were drawn towards embracing Islam and inclined towards embracing Islam. So this is the reality. Therefore, we need to have this study on a daily basis. And it's very enjoyable. And honestly, if a person can make this a habit, rather than me, okay, I don't know what to do, I've got free time, now there's temptation and my nafs and my desires are saying, you know what, go on your phone and scroll and look at this, look at that. Have some books set aside of the lives of pious people. It's very enjoyable. And all of the scholars of the past, they mentioned, they would study knowledge. Their day and night would go on studying knowledge, right? But sometimes they would say, we'd become a bit tired of studying technical aspects of knowledge. For that reason, we would have set aside some books of biographies of pious people. So whenever we would become a bit, don't want to use the word bored, but tired or exhausted from studying difficult parts of knowledge, we'd pick up one of the biographies of the pious and we'd read that until we'd feel satisfied and you know, we'd feel rejuvenated, and then we'd come back to studying. So we need to have these alternatives. The screens, we need to stop. Unfortunately, what happens is people stop screens, and then many times they start reading books, novels, non-fiction, you know, fictional works, which are just absolutely meaningless, pointless, that you can read many books for hours. Maybe your English language might improve. But other than that, it's a waste of time. So why don't we have set aside such books which will connect us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to our heritage, to our deen. And we will understand and appreciate our deen better. So anyway, inshallah, we'll make a start. Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was born, according to the correct opinion, or the best opinion, 7 years before the hijrah, 7 years before the migration to Medina. Her father's name was Abdullah. who is famously known as Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. But his name was Abdullah. Actually, before Islam, his name was Abdul Ka'ba. Abdul Ka'ba. After Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed his name to Abdullah. And his father's name, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, whose father's name was Abu Quhafa. And Aisha radiyallahu anha, her father's name was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. And her mother's name was Umm Ruman. What was her mother's name? Umm Ruman. Again, Umm Ruman's name, what was her real name? The scholars have discussed. It's very hard to find because she was so famous with this title, Umm Ruman, that most scholars are kind of saying that her real name was Zainab. Zainab. But there's another opinion as well. But the famous one is that her name was Zainab. But the name that she's famous by is Umm Ruman, radiallahu anha. And both of these great Sahaba, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and his wife Umm Ruman radiallahu anha, they embraced Islam at a very early stage. That's why Sayyidatina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she mentions that I don't remember a time when my parents weren't Muslim. Meaning, from the time that I can remember, my parents have always been Muslim. Her lineage connects to the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam at Murrah, Murrah bin Ka'ab. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lineage, Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib bin Hashim bin Abdi Manaf bin Qusay bin Kilab bin Murrah. So at Murrah, this ancestor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha's ancestry connects at Murrah. Because obviously they were from the Quraysh tribe, so everybody's ancestry would have connected at an earlier stage. She had five siblings. From those five siblings, one was her real sibling, meaning full sibling. And it was a brother whose name was Abdul Rahman. Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr. So Abdul Rahman, and he was a Sahabi as well. He was a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he was very young when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually passed away. And she had four half-siblings. So they were the children of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu from different wives of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Famous amongst them is Sayyidatuna Asma radiallahu anha, the elder sister of Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha. She's very famous, you know, many incidents about her, you know, great legacy she left behind. So she was the elder sister, but she was the half-sister of Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha. Apart from her, there was Umm Kulthum, and there was Muhammad, and there was Abdullah. So these were the four half-siblings of Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the earliest, one thing I'll mention at the start. You know what, Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha, and I put on the poster a few things about her marriage and all of these things. And inshallah we'll get to that. I don't know how much time I have, and there's a lot of youngsters as well, so we can't go very technical. But every narration that we have about the marriage of Aisha radiallahu anha, about her own life, the details of her life, has been narrated by herself. Nobody else. Every single detail that we have, you know, you have the Islamophobes who don't like Islam. And they find anything which they can use, and they use anything that they can find rather, to criticize Islam, demean, look down upon Islam, you know, say things about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, criticize his personality. Because they have no respect for him, they don't care about him, they don't have any love for him. So when they criticize him like he's an ordinary person. We would never open our mouths about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that way. Even if, based on societal influences and cultural influences, even if we were inclined to think in a certain way, when it comes to the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we'll straight away say, you know what? We cannot open our mouths or even think certain thoughts about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because we have this bias based upon our deen. They have none of these biases, right? They will just criticize and they will say anything that comes to their mind. And na'udhu billah, one of the things that they say is in regards to Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. I was listening to one scholar who was saying that a lady came to him and she said, you know what, Islam makes sense. Islam is such a beautiful religion. The teachings of Islam are very coherent, very easy to understand. But there's one thing that is making me, you know, I'm struggling with, and one thing that is becoming a barrier and a hindrance from me embracing Islam. So he asked, what is that? So she replied, it's the fact that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got married to Aisha radiallahu anha, and she was of a very young age. She says, this is the... And the scholar said, look, that's all you know about Aisha radiallahu anha. You don't know anything else. Because the reality is that's all, that's the propaganda which is being promoted. The age of Aisha, age of Aisha, age of Aisha. Why don't you look at the life of Aisha? Because the only narrations we have about the age of Aisha radiallahu anha at the time she got married have been narrated by herself. Nobody else has even narrated it or even talked about it. None of the Sahaba. So inshallah I'll get to that. So Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she herself narrates that the incident of her marriage. She says that my mother Ummu Ruman came to me, and she was 6 years old at this time. And we'll get to that. And she says, my mother Ummu Ruman came to me and I was with my friends at that time. And from here we can understand her memory and ascertain her memory and her intelligence. Because all of the ahadith, you know when the Sahaba would narrate ahadith, generally most of the ahadith that they narrated that reached us would be narrated, you know, in later on. It wasn't in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, most likely it wasn't in the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And specifically Sayyidatuna Aisha, because she lived until the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And in the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, many of the tabi'un, the students of the Sahaba, many of them would come to her. She was the marja, she was the place that everyone would turn to, the person that everybody would turn to, you know, for solutions to their problems. Even the great Sahaba, Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he says, many of us, the Sahaba, whenever we used to be confused about something, we would turn to Aisha radiallahu anhu. She was our last resort. And we would always find some knowledge or wisdom that she had that we could use to assist us and to help us. So look at her memory. So the time that she's narrating this hadith, she's probably in her 50s. We'll get to it, that she passed away at the age of 67 years old. She remembers clearly what happened when she was 6 years old. She says, I clearly remember my friends that I was playing with. And she says that, أَتَتْنِي أُمُّ رُمَانِ, my mother Ummu Ruman came to me. فَصَرَخَتْ بِي, and she cried out to me, she called out to me. So فَأَتَيْتُهَا, I came to her. وَمَا أَدْرِي مَا تُرِيدُ بِي, I don't know what my mother Ummu Ruman wanted from me. فَأَخَذَتْ بِيَدِي فَأَوْقَفَتْنِي عَلَى الْبَابِ, my mother Ummu Ruman, she took hold of my hand and she made me stand near the door. And then I still remember I was saying, ha ha, meaning she said I was tired. So you know when my mother just quickly made me come, so I was still breathing fast, you know, heavily, because I just rushed to the doorway. And she says that my mother entered me into the house and I saw a group of women who were gathered, and they said, عَلَى الْخَيْرِ وَالْبَرَكَةِ عَلَى خَيْرٍ طَائِرٍ. So they gave her the glad tidings that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's marriage proposal has come through. Now going one step back, the marriage of Aisha radiallahu anha, because this is mainly from where her biography starts, because she got married at a very young age. Right? Before that, before the age of 6, there's not much to discuss. But she got married at the age of 6. What happened? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as long as his wife Ummul Mu'mineen Khadija radiallahu anha was alive, he didn't get married. He got married to Khadija radiallahu anha when he was 25 years old. And Khadija radiallahu anha was 15 years his senior. She was 40 years old. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as long as she was alive, he didn't get married. However, once in the lifetime of Khadija radiallahu anha, an incident happened which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned to Aisha radiallahu anha. Again, she's the one narrating all of this. She mentioned this authentic hadith, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has brought it, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Aisha Ummul Mu'mineen, Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, that, O Aisha, uritukī fil manami thalatha layalin. In the lifetime of Khadija, I was shown your face in my dream for 3 consecutive nights. I was shown you in my dream for 3 consecutive nights. جَاءَنِي بِكَ الْمَلَكُ فِي سَرَقَةٍ مِّنْ حَرِيرٍ. An angel brought you in my dream and you were wrapped up in silk. فَيَقُولُ هَذِهِ إِمْرَأَتُكَ. And then the angel said to me, this is your wife. فَأَكْشَفَ عَنْ وَجْهِكَ فَإِذَا أَنْتَ هِيَ. And the angel brought you, it was like a bundle of silk, and then the cloth was removed and I saw your face. And he said it happened 3 nights. فَأَقُولُ إِنْ يَكُ هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ يُمْضِهِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to her that I said at that time that if this is the plan of Allah, then it will happen. Because it happened 3 days in a row. And remember, the dreams of the prophets, Anbiya alayhim salam, are not dreams like, you know, our dreams that we have, mashallah, jumping off buildings and, you know, flying like Superman and all of this other stuff. See? The dreams of the Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam are real dreams. That's why Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he had a dream, and he said to his son, Inni ara fil manami anni adbahuk, I've seen in my dream that I'm slaughtering you. So he knew that this is a message directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam knew, I've seen this dream 3 nights in a row. There is definitely some reality to this dream. So he's mentioning this later on to Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. After Khadija radiallahu anha passed away, what happened? There was a sahabiyya. Again, Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhim, have narrated this hadith, very authentic. And again, this is a rebuttal. All of these hadiths have been narrated by Aisha Siddiq radiallahu anha. That's our greatest honor and sharaf. She herself has narrated everything. If she was ever dissatisfied, if she was ever regretful of anything, it would have been clear. Everything we have regarding this issue, everything that you are using as ammunition to target the blessed personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are the words of Aisha radiallahu anha herself. You know, it's not that any of the sahabi has come and said, oh, we didn't like the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, na'udhu billah, got married to Aisha siddiqa radiallahu anha. And there was no reason for any of that to happen. I'm mentioning some of these things. The last thing I want is to open a Pandora's box. I do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I don't open a Pandora's box. This is the worst thing. Somebody is very clear-minded, has no objections, has no contradictions, and here I come and plant, mashallah, seed of doubt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from these things. This is the problem with discussing these things. Talking about atheism, talking about controversial subjects. Someone who's not even got that thought in their mind, if I start saying, oh well, there's a question here and this is the answer, maybe the answer is not satisfactory, but the question lodges in the mind and remains. So I have to be a bit careful here. Do dua, inshallah. Everybody do tawajjuh that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me the ability to speak the correct words, inshallah. So in the time after the lifetime of Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha, after Khadija radiallahu anha passed away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a short period of time was unmarried. And the famous hadith Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi narrates, again on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha. She mentions that Khawla bint Hakim, a sahabiyya, Khawla bint Hakim, she came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from here we understand these people, na'udhu billah, who accuse Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the accusations they say is Rasulullah always had his mind set on Aisha radiallahu anha. Na'udhu billah, I don't even want to go into what they say. They're Islamophobes, they're hateful people, and their hearts are filthy. Because their hearts are filthy, the words they say are filthy. And that filth, if they find a target, that they project their filth onto that. Na'udhu billah. So they say Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always had Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu in her mind. This is the answer. That Khawla bint Hakim radiallahu anha, she came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, Ya Rasulullah, ala tatazawwaj, are you not going to get married? Meaning Khadija has passed away, your beloved wife, but you should get married. This was normal in that society. Very contrast to our society where people prefer to just stay, mashallah, azbun, bachelors for life, enjoyable freedom. In that society, everybody would be married. As soon as a person was divorced straight away, they'd get married. If their wife passed away, husband passed away, they'd get married. Nobody would remain unmarried. Famous incident, I will find it very amusing. Sayyidatina Asma bint Umais radiallahu anha. She was also married to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. She was married to Ja'far radiallahu anhu. Ja'far radiallahu anhu passed away, she got married to someone else. She had children from Ja'far. She got married to someone else. He passed away, she got married to someone else. He passed away and then she got married to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. She had 4 or 5 husbands. One would pass away in battle or something, she would get married. And she wasn't the only case. All of the Sahaba and Sahabiyat, this was the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Stay married. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu used to say, if I knew I had one more day left in this dunya, I'd get married. If I was unmarried, I'd get married. Because this is a very important sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't think of it like this. Like it's an Islamic obligation, it carries so much reward and virtue. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, An-nikahu min sunnati. MashaAllah, we got a nikah tomorrow. MashaAllah, brothers are here. So, An-nikahu min sunnati. Nikah is my sunnah. Whoever turns away from my sunnah has turned away from me. So, she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidatuna Khawla bint Hakim, are you not going to get married? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, Waman, do you have anyone in mind? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her, do you have anyone in mind? She said, In shi'ta bikran wa in shi'ta thayyiban. Ya Rasulullah, I've got 2 options for you. If you want to get married to someone who has never been married before, then I've got an option for you. And if you want to get married to someone who was already previously married, I've got an option there as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, Manil bikru wa manil thayyibu? Who are these 2 options? What are these 2 options? She replied, Ammal bikru fa aishatu ibnatu ahabbi khalqillahi ilayka. As for the unmarried lady, that is Sayyidatuna Aisha, who is the daughter of the best of Allah's creation to you. Meaning she is the daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who is the best of Allah's creation to you. You love him the most. And then he asked, وَأَمَّ الثَّيِّبُ And then she replied, وَأَمَّ الثَّيِّبُ فَسَوْدَةُ بِنْتُ زَمْعَ As for the woman who was previously married, that is Sayyidatuna Sawda bint Zam'a radiyallahu anha. وَقَدْ آمَنَتْ بِكَ وَاتَّبَعَتْكَ Ya Rasulullah, Sayyidatuna Sawda has brought iman upon you and she follows you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, O Khawla, I want you to go to both of these two women or to their guardians and inquire as to whether they'd be interested in marriage. So she went to Sayyidatuna Sawda, and whatever discussion happened is not mentioned in the narration. But Aisha radiallahu anha mentions that Khawla, she came to my father. Well, she came to our house. And she found Ummu Ruman, my mother. So Ummu Ruman, and she said, Khawla radiallahu anha said, O Ummu Ruman, ما أدخل الله عليكم من الخير والبركة. Look how much goodness and blessings Allah is bringing into your house. She said, look how much goodness and blessings Allah is bringing into your house. Ummu Ruman radiallahu anha asked, وَمَا ذَاكَ What are you talking about? What goodness and what blessings? She replied that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has sent me to propose, to ask for the hand of Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha. Ummu Ruman at that moment in time, she said, I want to just wait until my husband Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes home. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came home, this matter was presented in front of him. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he replied, he said, وَهَلْ تَصْلُحُ لَهُ وَهِيَ بِنْتُ أَخِيهِ Can Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam get married to my daughter, whereas she is his niece? This was the question of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So Khawla radiallahu anha then came back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Abu Bakr has asked this question, can my daughter Aisha get married to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whereas she is his niece? And this question was not based on any form of, you know, I don't want to give my daughter. It was just a question, a mas'ala. Can Aisha get married to him whereas she is his niece? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu didn't have any blood connection. Aisha radiallahu anha was not Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's real niece. What Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is referring to is that he was so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of friendship and brotherhood that Aisha radiallahu anha, it's as if, you know, out of love you say she is the niece. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded and he said, go and say to him that you are my brother in Islam. You are my brother in Islam. You're not my brother by blood. So your daughter is halal for me. It's permissible for me to get married to your daughter. So Khawla radiallahu anha came back and she conveyed this news and straight away Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave his approval. فَأَنْكَحَهُ إِيَّاهَا وَهِيَ بِنْتُ سِتٍ وَقِيلَ سَبْعِ سِنِينَ And this is the famous narration Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's marriage took place with her, whereas at that moment in time she was 6 or 7 years of age. Now this happened, they got married, and thereafter Aisha radiallahu anha remained in her own home. Until, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Madinatul Munawwara. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu migrated with him. It's famous that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was his companion in the migration. When they migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, then after a while, you know, after everything had calmed down, everything had been organized, then they called for their families to be sent, the women folk, etc. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu's family was still in Makkatul Mukarrama. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughters and family were still in Makkatul Mukarrama. So they called for their family and then their family came. And then 2 years after the hijrah, 2 years after the migration to Madinatul Munawwara, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates, after the Battle of Badr, in the month of Shawwal, she moved into the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a brief description about the marriage of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And she mentions, you know, that one of the things I saw as soon as she moved into the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sleep on the floor. And the bedding that he would sleep on was adamun, hashuhu leafun. It was leather, the surface or the cover or the outer layer was made of leather. Wa hashuhu leafun. The internal filling of his bedding, you know, we have mattresses and then we have, you know, the stuffing of the mattress. The stuffing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's bedding was made of palm leaves. And it was very hard to sleep on and it was very difficult to sleep upon. On one occasion what happened, one Ansari Sahabi, she came and she saw the bedding of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she felt very bad that Rasulullah sleeps on this bedding. So what she did, she went home and she brought another bedding. Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha, she herself mentions that فَبَعَثَتْ إِلَيَّ بِفِرَاشٍ حَشْوُهُ الصُّوفِ She sent a new bedding And the inside of that bedding, or the stuffing of that mattress or bedding, was of suf, wool, meaning it was much more thicker, much more comfortable. That night Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came home and he said, "Ma hada ya Aisha? Oh Aisha, what's this? What have you done? What is this?" So she replied, "Ya Rasulullah, fulanatun ansariya dakhalat fara'at firashak fadhahabat fabaathat ilayya bihada. Ya Rasulullah, you know, such and such Ansari lady, she came to your house, she saw your bedding and she sent this bedding." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Raddihi ya Aisha. Oh Aisha, return it, send it back. Fawallahi law shi'tu la ajrallahu ma'i jibal al-dhahabi wal-fiddati. Oh Aisha, send it back, because if I wanted to, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have given me mountains of gold and silver. But I don't want this. I don't care about the fact that it's uncomfortable." Subhanallah, in another narration, the Ummu Habiba radiallahu anha, or another one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she mentions that, or maybe it was Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, that the bedding of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was one layer. And once she folded it two layers, just to make it a bit more comfortable, that night, the next morning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, "What did you do last night?" She said, "Ya Rasulullah, I just double folded the mattress, the bedding on the floor." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Don't do it again, because I found it very hard to wake up for tahajjud salah, for the night prayer." This was the zuhd of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A woman to be married to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the highest form of honor. And you know, I don't know how much I'm going to get done by the time food comes and everybody smells the food and mashallah forgets about the talk. So to get married to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the highest form of honor. Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, when her husband passed away, Abu Salama radiallahu anhu, she sees in a dream the full moon coming into her lap. So she sends a messenger, "Go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does this dream mean?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends a messenger back that Allah ta'ala will replace Abu Salama, your ex-husband, with someone who is better than Abu Salama. Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, she says, "I sat there thinking, no one can be better than Abu Salama radiallahu anhu. He's a muhajir. He migrated from Makkah to Al-Mukarramah to Medina. He fought in the Battle of Badr. Who can be better than Abu Salama?" A few days passed by, after which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself sent the proposal of marriage to me. So this marriage, I'm going to mention a few points here about the marriage of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. First of all, we don't find any proof. Like I just already mentioned, all the narrations we have about Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha's marriage are from herself. She is the narrator, all of the hadiths. Never do you find any proof or evidence that Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha was dissatisfied with the marriage. She was regretful that she got married. And bear in mind one thing. She got married at the age of 6. She moved into the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the age of around 9 to 10 years old. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away when she was 18 years old. And how old was she when she passed away? MashaAllah, very good. 67 years old. One or two brothers said it. 67 years old. How many years is that between 18 and 67? Almost 50 years. 50 years of her life she lived alone, without a husband, in a small room, in her hujra. She didn't want anything more than that. It's not that she couldn't have got better. She could have got better. Rather, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had so much love for Aisha radiallahu anha. In the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, when the wealth started coming in from all the conquered countries and territories throughout the world, the Muslim world, he said, "You know what, all of this wealth is coming in." So he fixed like a stipend system where every single Muslim in Medina receives a certain amount from the public treasury. The first kind of welfare system or benefit system Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu set in place. So he asked the Sahaba, his companions, "Who should I start with?" Meaning, I'm going to distribute this wealth. Who should I start with? So they said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, whoever you want." No, actually they said, "Start with yourself. Start with yourself. Stipulate an amount for yourself." He said, "Rather, I want to start with the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So they said, "By all means, Amir al-Mu'mineen, that's excellent idea." So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu set a stipend for them that on an annual basis, they would receive 10,000 dirhams each. But for Aisha radiallahu anha specifically, he set the amount to 12,000 dirhams. He gave her that extra sharaf, that extra honor that he didn't give to the rest of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not that now, he was looking down upon the rest of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it was known in the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Rasulullah, the most beloved wife to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. to the extent that some Sahaba, when they would discuss amongst themselves about Aisha radiallahu anha, they would call her Habibatu Rasulillah, the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, the famous Sahabi, someone once in his presence started to badmouth Aisha radiallahu anha. This was after the Battle of Jamal, where some, you know, issues and some differences happened amongst the Sahaba. So one person started to badmouth Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha. Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu said, "Get away from my sight, get away from my company." And he said, "How dare you open your mouth about the Habibatu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu once came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a famous hadith, beautiful hadith. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anyone who would come to him would feel that Rasulullah loves him the most. That's how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would treat each person. They would feel that Rasulullah loves me the most, I'm his favorite. Every single person would feel that way. So Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu anhu said, "I felt that way, that I was Rasulullah's favorite." SubhanAllah, think about it. Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu anhu became a Muslim, embraced Islam just before the conquest of Makkah. Just before the conquest of Makkah, probably, you know, 22 years after Islam, he embraced Islam. But still, when Rasulullah would talk to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would feel that I am the most beloved and dear to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "Once I thought to myself, I need proof for this, I need certification that Rasulullah loves me the most." He said, "I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 'Ya Rasulullah, man ahabbu nasi ilayka? O Messenger of Allah, who is the most beloved of people to you?'" And who did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha wa arda. He said, "Aisha." Because he put Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the spot. He asked him a direct question, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no word of a lie would come out of his mouth. He said, "Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha wa arda." And then he thought, okay, "Wa min al-rijali ya Rasulullah?" From the men, "Ya Rasulullah, who's the most beloved to you?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "Abuha," her father, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So then he asked a few more questions, and he mentioned a few more names, and then Amr bin As radiallahu anhu says, "I stopped asking, thinking that what if he mentions my name right at the end? So I just stopped asking." But this was the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that anyone who would come to him would feel beloved, would feel, you know, loved and very welcome. So anyway, first point is that there's no proof or evidence that Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anha, in that 50 years that she had, where she could have said anything she wanted to, her companions, her sahaba, she has narrated 2,210 ahadith which have reached us. Such a huge amount of hadith. She has narrated the second most hadith after Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who's narrated the most hadith, 2,400 and something. She has narrated the second most hadith. Any time she could have said anything, because all of the private details of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's home, his lifestyle, everything, majority of those hadith that have reached us from her, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Because she lived a longer life than most of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent most of his time in her home. Every single one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a hujra, had a specific room, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent most time with her. And the sahaba, you know, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they knew. I'm going to just summarize and read, you know, my notes from here and there. The wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has this extra love for Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha. That's why when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fell very ill, and it was his final illness, and he was leaving the dunya, so he was in the home of one of his wives, and he would keep saying, "Aina ana ghadan? Whose house am I in tomorrow?" And they would say, "Ya Rasulullah, you're in this person's house tomorrow." Then he would say, "Aina ana ba'da ghadin? Where am I the day after tomorrow?" And the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized that Rasulullah is eager for the day in which he can be in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. SubhanAllah, think about this. He's in the house of his other wives, and he's asking them, "Well, which house am I in tomorrow? Which house am I in the day after tomorrow?" And then the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, remember, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers. Every single one of them is our mother. Allah Ta'ala mentions this in the Quran, وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ. The mothers of Rasulullah sallallahu, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the mothers of the believers. Every single one of them is the crown on top of our head. We have to have love for every single one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are from the family. They are from his aal, they are from his ahl, ahlul bayt. The same way we have love and respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his children, his offspring. Till today, anyone who is a Sayyid, anyone by blood is from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the children of the progeny of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We honor them, we love them. Similarly, all of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they got together and they said, you know what? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants to be in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. We'll just give ijazah, we'll just give permission. And they all got together and they gave him permission. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved into the home of Aisha radiallahu anha, and he passed away on the bedding of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he was buried in the home of Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha. What more needs to be said about the status of Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha? She herself, subhanallah, was a very pious woman, extremely pious, from the Sahaba. Her salah, her ibadah, her dhikr, her tilawat of Quran, nobody could compete. One of the main reasons for this was because all of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or majority of Rasulullah's nafil ibadat, would take place in her house. She would see him all the time in his tahajjud. So many narrations, all the narrations, or majority of the narrations we have about Rasulullah's tahajjud have been narrated from whom? Aisha radiallahu anha. There's a famous debate about how many rakats is taraweeh and tahajjud. This whole debate comes on the basis of Aisha radiallahu anha's hadith. She is the one saying Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed, such and such a rakat. You know, she mentions that the room of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my room was so small that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be performing salah and he would go into sajda, he would nudge me and I would move my feet and then he would perform sajda. Such a small room that she lived in. And subhanallah, all of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived in these difficult circumstances. And this was a sacrifice that they had made because they had preferred Allah and His Rasul over the things of the dunya. On one occasion, what happened? Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she narrates. That the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through a lot of financial difficulty and hardship. They used to struggle. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, herself, she mentions that many days would go by. Many days would go by and there would be no food which is found in any of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many moons would go by. Meaning many months, no food would be cooked in the houses of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They lived in very difficult situations, circumstances. And once what happened was they got together and they thought, we'll approach Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we'll ask him, you know, for some financial gain or something like this. So they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they mentioned what they had to mention. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became upset. And he totally isolated himself. He didn't go to anybody's house. And she herself narrates this hadith. She says that اِعْتَزَلَهُنَّ مُدَّةً مِّنَ الزَّمَنِ, that Rasulullah didn't go to anybody's house. He didn't go to the house of any of his wives, and they realized Rasulullah is angry with us, upset with us. And then Allah Ta'ala revealed the ayah in the Quran. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ إِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا فَتَعَالَيْنَ أُمَتِّعْكُنَّ وَأُسَرِّحْكُنَّ سَرَاحًا جَمِيلًا. That, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala is addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, O Messenger, say to your wives, if you want the life of this dunya, if you want the blessings of this dunya, and you want to live the life that everybody else is living, then fata'alayn, then come to me. Umatti'akunna, I will give you some wealth and some money. Wausallihkunna sarahan jameela, I will make you happy, meaning I will give you enough financial gain that you can go and you can be happy yourself. However, وَإِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, if you want Allah and His Rasul, وَالدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ, and you want the life of the Akhirah, meaning the best of the life of the Akhirah, that life which nobody else can reach in the Akhirah, then فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعَدَّ لِلْمُحْسِنَاتِ مِنْكُنَّ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا, then Allah Ta'ala has surely prepared for those who do good from amongst you a great reward. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called each of his wives one by one, and he gave them the option. If you want, you can be removed from my marriage. And I will give you enough financial, you know, wealth and things to make you happy, assets. And you can go and live an enjoyable life. And if you want, then you can leave all of this and prefer Allah and His Rasul and the Akhirah. And who was the first person Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called? Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. So she herself mentions that يُخَيِّرَ وَقَالَ لَهَا, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, إِنِّي ذَاكِرٌ لَكَ أَمْرًا, I'm going to mention something to you. فَلَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا تَسْتَعْجِلِي, you don't need to rush, you don't need to make a quick decision. حَتَّى تَسْتَأْمِرِي أَبَوَيْكَ, go to your parents, do mashwara with your parents, consult with your parents, take your time and make your decision. And then he gave her the option. وَذَكَرَ لَهَا التَّخْيِيرَ الَّذِي أَمَرَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِهِ, he gave her the option, either, you know, the wealth of this dunya and you can be removed from my marriage, or Allah and His Rasul, and the life of this dunya is going to be difficult. But in the Akhirah, Allah Ta'ala has prepared for you great reward. فَقَالَتْ لَهُ أَفِيكَ أَسْتَشِيرُ أَبَوَيْكَ. SubhanAllah, such love. رضي الله عنها وأرضاه. She said, Ya Rasulullah, am I going to do mashwara with my parents about you? Do I even need to do mashwara with my parents? Do I even need to consult my parents about you? صلى الله عليه وسلم. رضي الله عنها وأرضاه. بَلْ أُرِيدُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. Rather, I want Allah and His Rasul and the life of the Akhirah. The way she started, she said, Ya Rasulullah, why do I even need to go to my parents and consult them about you? What kind of question is that? You know I want Allah, you know I want His Rasul, and you know I want the life of the Akhirah. وَاخْتَارَتْ بَقِيَّةُ أَزْوَاجِهِ مِثْلَ مَخْتَارَتْ. And all of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the same decision. That Ya Rasulullah, we'll go through the hardship of this dunya. This dunya is of 2 days. The Akhirah and the greatest rank in the Akhirah, that's what we want. It's the whole purpose of living. That's why after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, so many years of her life, she spent in... Everybody would give her gifts. Everybody would send her money. All of the khulafa that came, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar, Uthman, and especially in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and then Uthman radiallahu anhu, and then in the time of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, they would send her gifts all the time. It would never stay with her. It would come straight away distributed. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubayr, Sayyidina Urwa ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, the nephew of Aisha radiallahu anha, he says, I have never met anyone more generous than my mother, Asma, the eldest daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and my aunt Aisha radiallahu anha. I've never met anyone more generous than her, than them. But they were a little bit different in the fact that my mother, Asma, she wouldn't keep anything on her. As soon as something came, she would give it away straight away. She would have nothing on her. And my khala, my aunt Aisha radiallahu anha, she would, you know, a few people would give her a few gifts, it would gather together, and then she would give it all away at one go. But both of them, the end result was the same, that they wouldn't keep anything on them, and they would give everything in sadaqah, and they would give everything in charity, and spend it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha, mentioning the final moments of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have to mention this, subhanallah. There's more I could mention about the marriage. So much dalail. Alhamdulillah, the evidences are there. Common sense dictates that this marriage was not your average marriage. You know what these people do? They try and put you on the spot. And they try and say, oh, if your daughter was this age, would you? The situation is totally different. And there's no harm in saying, no, of course not in this day and age. The situations are totally different. But the circumstances, 1500 years ago almost, they were very, very different. We know that she was happy, radiallahu anha. You know zulm. You know they say zulm, oppression. I can sit here 1500 years later and say this is wrong. Certain person A was oppressed and person B was the oppressor. Or person A was the oppressor, person B was the oppressed. How can I be a judge of that 1500 years later when there is no evidence for that in history? Who is the best person to ask whether they've been wronged or not? Who is the best person to ask whether something wrong, something bad has happened to you or not? The person who is in that situation, right? The person themselves, you ask them, are you okay? Is everything okay? Has anyone harmed you? Has anyone wronged you? Never did Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha ever show at all that she was in a situation that she didn't want to be in. She was put into a marriage she didn't want to be in. Rather, I just gave you the evidence that she chose the other side. And throughout her life, she would always mention how Allah Ta'ala favored her with this marriage. And she would remember the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And her love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was genuine, true love. She loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm going to mention this incident when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this dunya. So she mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it was the final moments of his demise, final moments of his time in the dunya, and he was lying on his bedding, and my brother Abdul Rahman entered into the room, and in his hand وَبِيَدِهِ السِّوَاكُ, in his hand there was a miswak. وَأَنَا مُسْنِدَةٌ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. I was sitting with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Sorry, musnida, meaning I was, Rasulullah's head was on my lap. فَرَأَيْتُهُ يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِ. I could see Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم looking at that miswak that was in the hand of my brother Abdul Rahman رضي الله عنه. وَعَرَفْتُ أَنَّهُ يُحِبُّ السِّوَاكِ. I realized straight away Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم wants to do the miswak. He was too weak at that time. Allah's Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم is too weak at that time. He couldn't speak. But I realized by looking at his face that he wants to do the miswak. So she says that, أَخُذُ لَكْ. I asked Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, should I get the miswak for you? Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم with his head, he said, فَأَشَارَ بِرَأْسِهِ نَعَمْ. Yes. Meaning I want to use the miswak. So she took the miswak and she found the miswak was too hard. Fashtadda aliyya, the hard end was still too hard. You know the miswak before you chew it, it's very tough. So she says, فَقُلْتُ أُلَيِّنُهُ لَكْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, should I make it soft for you? فَأَشَارَ بِرَأْسِهِ نَعَمْ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nodded his head. So she took the miswak and she says, فَمَضَغْتُهُ وَنَفَضْتُهُ وَطَيَّبْتُهُ. She said, I chewed it and I made it soft and then I removed any dirt from it. And then I gave it to him. فَاسْتَنَّ بِهِ كَأَحْسَنَ مَا رَأَيْتُهُ مُسْتَنًّا قَطُّ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used this miswak and he committed, you know, performed the siwak and brushed his teeth. Thereafter I removed this miswak. ثُمَّ ذَهَبَ يَرْفَعُهُ إِلَيَّ فَسَقَطَتْ يَدَهُ. So Rasulullah himself did the miswak, but he was very weak. So then when he tried to lift his hand up to give me the miswak, his hand fell. فَأَخَذْتُ أَدْعُو لَهُ بِدُعَاءٍ كَانَ يَدْعُو بِهِ لَهُ جِبْرِيلٍ. Look, she knows everything, رضي الله عنها وارضاه. She says that at that moment in time when I saw Rasulullah was very weak, صلى الله عليه وسلم, I started to read the dua that I used to know that Jibreel would read to him, عليه السلام. She knows this because she would observe all of this. وَكَانَ هُوَ يَدْعُو بِهِ لِنَفْسِهِ إِذَا مَرِضَ. And Rasulullah would make the same dua for himself when he would be ill. I started to recite this dua. And then فَرَجَعَ بَصَرَهُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted his gaze towards the skies. And then he said, أَرَّفِيقُ الْأَعْلَى. The highest friend, the highest companion. وَفَاضَتْ نَفْسُهُ. And then his soul was taken from his body. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. After this, what does Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha say? She says, فَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي جَمَعَ بَيْنَ رِيقِي وَرِيقَهُ فِي آخِرِ يَوْمٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. I praise that Allah who joined between my saliva and the saliva of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the last day that he had left in this dunya. If this is not true love, then what is true love? The final thing that happened with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and myself is that my saliva and his saliva were joined and then he left this dunya. And she would mention this in the latter stages of her life. Radiallahu anha wa arda. I did mention by 9 o'clock I'll finish. There's more points to mention. This is just an introduction. The rest of the work is up to yourselves. Buy the books, read the biographies. How can we ignore this? How can we take role models, people whose lives are not even, you know, 1% of the lives of these pious people? How can we take them as role models? How can we feel inspired by them when we have such great people in our history? Every action they did was beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every action they did is worthy of being followed by us. I'm just going to finish off by mentioning the final moments of Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anha. Is that okay? Just a few more patient moments inshallah and then we finish. Because we need to eat before Maghrib mashallah and we don't want anyone doing too many burps in Maghrib Salah as well. So the final moments of something else was so beautiful to be mentioned. I'll just summarize it in my own words. When Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away, he was buried in the home of Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anha. And there was one more place because the room was already so small. There was one more space. And she used to say, this is the place that I had reserved for myself. When I pass away, I want to be buried next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, if this is not true love, then what is? However, when Umar radiallahu anhu was fatally stabbed by the wretched man, Abu Lu'lu Fayruz, he came and he stabbed Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. While Umar radiallahu anhu was standing on the musalla waiting to lead the Fajr prayer, he stabbed him in his abdomen, in his belly, and blood was gushing out. And he had a very short time after which he was passed away, radiallahu anhu. Milk was brought to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. He drank the milk and he was, you know, gushing out of his abdomen. The time of Fajr Salah was passing. The Sahaba said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, you're not in a state to perform Salah. Blood is gushing out of you. He said, there is no share in Islam for someone who misses their Salah. And he stood up in that condition and he performed his Salah, radiallahu anhu ardahu. Look how seriously and importantly, how much importance he gave to his Salah. And then when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was in his final moments, he said to his son, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, that go to Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anha and ask her. He said, go to Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu ta'ala anha and ask her that, can I be buried in that one remaining spot in the room of in your room? I just want to find the words. Arabic words are always so much more beautiful than my English words. So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, and he said to her that go and ask her. If she says no, then come back. If she says no, then return. Well, if she gives permission, then come and inform me. So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu went. And he gave salam and he asked for permission to enter. And when he entered, he found Aisha radiallahu anha sitting and crying because of the news she heard that Umar radiallahu anhu has just been fatally wounded. She's crying. فَسَلَّمَ عَلَيْهَا Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu gave salam to her. And then he said, يَقْرَأُ عَلَيْكِ عُمَرُ السَّلَامِ Sayyidina Umar has sent his salam to you. وَيَسْتَأْذِنُ أَن يُدْفَنَ مَعَ صَاحِبَيْ And he is seeking permission that he wants to be buried with his two companions, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. قالت, she mentioned, كُنْتُ أُرِيدُهُ لِنَفْسِي I had reserved this place for myself. However, وَلَأُثِرَنَّهُ بِهِ الْيَوْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي Today, I will give priority to Umar radiallahu anhu over myself. After this happened, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu was returning. In the meantime, Umar radiallahu anhu was very anxious. He kept asking, when is Abdullah? Is Abdullah here yet? Is Abdullah here yet? Is Abdullah here yet? Because this was his greatest wish, to be buried there, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So when Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu came in, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, Irfa'uni, lift me up, raise me up so I can speak to him properly. فَأَسْنَدَهُ رَجُلٌ إِلَيْهِ A person lifted him up, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, who was very weak at that time. فَقَالَ مَا لَدَيْكَ He asked his son Abdullah, وَعَبْدُ اللَّهِ what news do you have? Sayyidina Abdullah replied, أَلَّذِي تُحِبُّ يَا أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ I've got the news that you are desiring, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. She has given أذنت, she has given permission. قَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ مَا كَانَ شَيْءٌ أَهَمَّ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْمَضْجَعِ Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, Alhamdulillah, nothing was more important to me than to be buried there. Radiallahu anhu wa arda. The final moments of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she, I'm going to wrap a long story short inshaAllah. When she was, like I said, she passed away at the age of 67 years of age. In the time of Sayyidina, Uthman radiallahu anhu. So she fell quite ill. Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu, she fell quite ill. And towards the end of her life, she would give very little time to people. Most of her time would be spent in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most of her days she would spend fasting, and you know, many hours of the night she would spend in long rak'ats of tahajjud salah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When she fell ill, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he came and he asked permission to enter. So next to her was her brother Abdul Rahman. So her brother Abdul Rahman said, I said to her, O Ummul Mu'mineen, Abdullah ibn Abbas is outside and he wants to enter. So she replied, Da'ni min ibn Abbas. I don't want to see Abdullah ibn Abbas. Meaning, I don't want to see anyone. I'm in the last stages of my life. Everybody needs to leave me alone. So Da'ni min ibn Abbas. Spare me from ibn Abbas. Radiallahu anhu. She's just saying she's in the last moments of her life. She's not wanting to speak to anyone. However, her brother said, Ya Ummah, إِنَّ ابْنَ عَبَّاسٍ مِّنْ صَالِحِ بَنِيكِ يُسَلِّمُ عَلَيْكِ Oh my mother, it's her brother. Well, he's addressing her as, Oh my mother, because she is the mother of the believers. Ya Ummah, oh my mother, Ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas is from the most pious of your children. Meaning the mothers of the believers, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are our mothers. Ummul Mu'mineen, we address them. So he said, Abdullah ibn Abbas is from the most pious of your sons. يُسَلِّمُ عَلَيْكَ And he's giving salam to you. وَيُوَدِّعُكَ He just wants to bid you farewell. فَقَالَتْ She said, إِذَنْ لَهُ إِنْ شِئْتْ If you want, then just give permission to him. And then he entered. So when he entered, he sat down and he did what is the sunnah. The sunnah is that when you see someone in difficulty, especially in the last moments, you give them hope, you give them good news, glad tidings. You know, to make them happy and give them hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he straight away said, أَبْشِرِي Glad tidings be to you. So she said, بِمَاذَا Why? Glad tidings about what? So he said, مَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ أَن تَلْقَى مُحَمَّدًا وَالْأَحِبَّ إِلَّا أَن تَخْرُجَ الرُّوحُ مِنَ الْجَسَدِ وَكُنْتِ أَحَبِّ نِسَاءِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَيْهِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُحِبُّ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا And then he carried on praising her. He said, there's nothing which is left between you joining Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم except your soul leaving your body. And as soon as your soul leaves your body, you will join Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions. And then he said, you were the most beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wives. And then he carried on mentioning that Rasulullah did not like anything except for the best of things. And you were the best of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wives. Meaning trying to say, your status was so high. So he carried on talking, and then right at the end, she just got fed up. And she said, Da'ni minka ya ibn Abbas. Oh ibn Abbas, leave me alone now. She didn't want to sit there and listen to the praise, her praise being mentioned. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, what he's doing is the sunnah. This is what we do when somebody is in a difficult situation. We give them good news. Right? وَالَّذِي And then she mentioned this. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَوَدِدْتُ أَنِّي كُنْتُ نَسْيًا مَنْسِيًّا Subhanallah. This was her humility, her tawadu, her feeling that she is not worth anything. She says, leave me alone, O Abdullah ibn Abbas. I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I wish that I did not exist, I was nothing. I wasn't born, I was forgotten. Meaning, even though the reality is that she is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's most beloved wife, she had so many virtues, but she has the feeling that she is absolutely nothing. What will happen to her in the akhirah? This is how she is feeling. What lesson does that set for you and I, my dear respected brothers and sisters? That before our life finishes in this dunya, terminates, what preparation have we made? That when we die, we can say, oh, I'm ready to go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to make proper effort, proper preparation. Let's take this back from this talk. First of all, the beauty of the life of Ummul Mu'minin radiallahu anha. And secondly, look at the way she lived her life. And look at the time of her death, she still felt that her deeds in her life were not sufficient. And she was so worried about what would happen when she would meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will happen to you and I when you and I stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the deeds that we did in this dunya? Broken deeds, with bad intentions, without any focus we perform salah, with showing off intentions we gave charity. You know, our fasting was spent of made up of complaints and complaining about when the food would be served and just complaining of our hunger and just sleeping through our fasting day. This is how we do worship. And look at how Ummul Mu'mineen did worship. Yet she still felt, Ya Allah, how will I be saved in the akhirah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to benefit from these few points that we have learnt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his blessed companions in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah. Yeah, because there's not enough time now. Give me a bit earlier indication. Inshallah, inshallah, let me switch it off. Inshallah, I think I mentioned Khulasa. After the finishing, I can't go back now. I don't know where to go back to. So inshallah, the food will be served after Maghrib. The reason for that is if they serve it now, it'll be too difficult to wrap up the food. Please, can I request everyone, don't go home inshallah. Please, stay till Maghrib Salah. I know mashallah, brothers brought the little ones as well, mashallah. Give them some food as well. We've got some sweets for them as well, inshallah. So they can... After Maghrib, everyone can eat the food, inshallah, and then go home. Is that okay? This time that we have in the masjid, blessed time before Maghrib Salah, we can use it for worship. Sisters upstairs as well, please, Shama and the other sisters who are there, please ensure that sisters don't go until they've eaten. We've got a lot of food, and the last thing we want is the food to be wasted. And so please, inshallah, just do some worship of Allah, recite some Qur'an, do some zikr, whilst we wait for Maghrib Salah. After Maghrib Salah, you can partake of the food, inshallah, and then you can go home. Jazakallah. There's only about 10-15 minutes left. Jazakallah khair. Give me that.